Trust versus Boyle County Board of Equalization. Is it Mr. Maul?
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning to you.
May it please the Court, my name is Tim Maul. I'm the Ren Maul Deputy Law from here in Lincoln. My client, Gerald Green, is with me here today as well. This is an appeal from an action of the Act Equalization Review Commission. This involves the valuation of 5 agricultural parcels in Morrill County. The parcels are all or mostly grassland parcels. They're located there, and the issue that comes up in this case is basically, is the mass appraisal methodology that was used by the assessor, is that flawed to the point that the assessor and the Board of Equalization and then Turk's opinion are unreasonable. Some background on how this ag land is appraised in Boyle County. The ag land is put into land capability groupings based on soil type. And so based on how productive the soil is, that says, well, the gives you some idea of what the land would be worth. That gets tied back to sales data, and then that comes up with kind of the, for this particular area, what would be the amount that this type of ground should be worth.
Well, let me back up just a little bit. As we close the issue, is the case, what would be the authority of the Turk or a lower level of body to ignore what the PAD did?
Well, the PAD has the regulations that say that when you get to a certain point, they stop self-classifying. They say we're just going to use dry land values to figure out how you do these land capability groupings. And the result of that in this case is that the dry land capability of a piece of ground isn't a good indicator of whether it's good for growing grass. So you have really poor dry land ground.
I think that's an answer to a different question. It appears everybody agrees this is a flawed proposition. What would be the authority of these various bodies to nevertheless ignore that methodology that's been endorsed under the code?
The regulations is in 14.004.08 is what you're referring to. If you go one further to 14.004.09, that gives authority to the assessor to say, if after doing all of this, things aren't uniform and proportionate, you can go further and do further necessary subclassifications. And so what we're arguing is...
Did she do that?
She did not.
Did she do stuff that was a little bit different than what the PAD had propagated?
My understanding is she got 2 dry land values and just she used a sales roster of 12 sales from some from Morrill County, some from surrounding counties, and then basically bunched that all together based on all grassland being treated the same. She came with the same $330 per acre. So she acknowledged that there was some flaw in her testimony, didn't really acknowledge what she did to adjust for that in anything, just said, well, this is the market, is kind of what she kept coming back to. So really did not take that next step further to say, how do we address the fact that anyone who's looking to buy ranch land, they're looking to graze, they're going to graze cattle on it. What's the most important thing if you're going to graze cattle is how productive is that land? How many cattle can you place on that? That gets us to animal unit months.
So I'm trying to understand your claim. So when did this case go off the rails? Was your client, when the assessor did not do a variation under 004.09?
That's correct. Because the assessor, I guess, got things right to the point of saying, we're going to do dry land classifications, but then when she saw that dry land classifications didn't make sense based on her sales roster, she didn't take another step to make things uniform and proportionate. So the result is, in Morrill County, there's ground that has highly productive grassland that's valued exactly the same as my client's ground, which tends to be on the lower end of that. So there's the 1G to 4G groupings, and based on NRCS data, you can determine what the productivity of that would be for grassland. That's different than what dryland would be. Once you determine that, then, again, the highest productive grassland in Boyle County is valued exactly the same way as the lowest productive ground.
So let me ask Justice Norman's question in a little bit different way. Is what the assessor did in Boyle County the same as what all of the other assessors do in all of the other counties? Does it make a difference?
Uh, I certainly don't have knowledge exactly of how the assessors, other assessors addressed this issue. Obviously, the regulations are the same for all of the assessors. I think the issue is going to be more exaggerated in western Nebraska, just because if you're in eastern Nebraska, there is more dry land, then, again, you're going to be on target for more land, but where there's more grassland, you're going to have the same issue. And so,
would that be the same issue for cropland, too, that there is some cropland that is more productive than others, and these regulations don't they necessarily sort of have to bunch things together?
They do, but we think they've stopped. But again, the overall goal of the statute and the Constitution is to say things need to be uniform and proportionate, and we think this approach just stops too soon, that there's one key factor that's left out, which is the productivity for purposes of livestock. Again, this land that you use and farm for dry land is just different. Again, dry land and irrigated, there's a correlation between the productivity of the soil, because, again, obviously water helps a lot, it makes that land more valuable, but productivity for growing grain and corn, those things are the same. Grassland's just different.
I'm trying to understand this evaluation case, but we're talking in terms of constitutionality.
Well,
I don't have formed the question, but I think maybe that it dovetails with the Chief's question, is where is this flaw, which everybody seems to acknowledge, where is that best resolved?
Well, again, it's a question of equalization, and so the good job of the assessor is to make sure within the county that various properties aren't, again, unequally assessed, so that you would say, well, again, we've got what land is very valuable in terms of crop production, or grazing land shouldn't be valued unequally to the same, in the same county particularly, that there's that disparity there. So it comes down to equalization as opposed to, I mean, if the flock said they're all too high or they're all too low, you're still fine, but it's a matter of where some are too high and some are too low, that's where you've got the problem that the Constitution
is educating. Let's assume we agree with you. How would we write this opinion? Would we instruct everybody involved in this process that they have to use the test your people put into the record here?
I think your review is more limited than that. Again, all that's before you is these five parcels, and what we put in front of you is, with regard to these parcels, a reasonable way to say the one factor we're missing from all of this is grazing potential, and here's a way to plug that in that's based on all the data that the assessor's using.
Wasn't there testimony by the taxpayer that the trusts were not going to forward comparables because they're all going to suffer the same problem, but rather just to propose an alternative methodology?
And that's true. The problem in Morrill County and Las Vegas, there just aren't sales to give you to go get an appraisal or to go have lots of comparable sales.
I don't think that was the argument. The argument wasn't, there's no sales, I can't dig up comps. The argument was, there's no point in digging up comps. Everybody's going to be flawed and impacted the same way. Wasn't that the argument?
I'm not sure I agree with that argument. It's more saying that there's not a good way to come up with a parcel-by-parcel kind of analysis to do that, just because there's not that ability to get those appraisals. Reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you very much. Mr. Rodak, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court and Counsel. I'm Travis Rodak. I'm the Morrill County Attorney. I'm here representing the Board of Equalization for Morrill County in this appeal. I think it's important for the court to note in this particular case is that we have this grassland in Morrill County. Assessor has a value of $330 an acre, and generally speaking, in the assessor's world, the valuation is based on like-kind sales. I think we can generally all agree on that. And so when we take this $330 an acre and we adjust it to 100%, obviously that number is intended to be 75% of market value, we get per acre value on Mr. Green's parcel of $440 an acre. And when you look at the sales roster, and yes, land in Morrill County and in the Panhandle for that matter doesn't turn over very often, but we do have a decent sales roster here of 12 parcels, And we have sale prices that are right in that neighborhood, and we have several that are more per acre for what we would consider or argue similarly situated land. But I think the most important thing to consider here is, given the scope of review for this court and the turf board itself, that basically the findings of the County Board of Equalization shouldn't be disturbed on appeal unless they're overcome by evidence to the contrary. And I'll turn the court's attention.
So the burden is on the Green folks here.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, it's on Mr. Green to demonstrate that there's some sort of sale or some sort of evidence that suggests that his properties are not valued first, the same as all properties around him, but secondly, in some methodology that would put a value on it that's not equal or was arbitrary or unreasonable, kind of picked out of the sky, for lack of a better term. When I look at J2...
So from your standpoint, is this simply a failure of proof?
Yes, Your Honor. I think the primary argument here would be that Mr. Green, at the TURF board level, did not establish by clear and convincing evidence that the assessor's methodology was flawed, or that his land was valued any differently than the land around him, or in excess of the land around him. In looking at a JQH La Vista conference versus Sarpy County Board of Equalization, the court said in that case that the taxpayer's burden of persuasion in evaluation appeal is not met by showing a mere difference of opinion unless it is also established by clear and convincing evidence that the valuation placed upon the property when compared with other similar property is grossly excessive and the result of a systematic exercise of intentional will or failure of plain duty, not mere errors of judgment. So even if we concede that the LCGs, maybe they're flawed, even though that's a similar setup that's used all across the state, even if we concede they're flawed, I don't believe Mr. Green has shown that there's some sort of grossly excessive calculation here on our part.
Are you conceding that they were flawed?
I believe so, Your Honor. I mean, I think Mr. Green raises a valid point on the LCGs, but that's just one piece of a big puzzle. That's one small piece of a big puzzle. I think the primary component here are the sales themselves. And when that's brought up at the TURF board level, I believe Mr. Green's response to that is that the people buying property in Morrill County, they're misinformed or they're paying prices based on some data that's inaccurate, but some of these sales are auctions, some of them are private party sales. I mean, I think the sample size is large enough to say that these people aren't just acting on bad information, that's actually what the ground is worth. I think the biggest evidence and the biggest indicator of that is what Mr. Green actually paid for the ground himself. When his father passed and he bought it out of his brothers, he actually paid right in that $440 range per acre for the property.
Was that a disputed fact?
I don't believe it was, because he was asked directly what he paid per acre, and I believe the number was in the low $422 per acre and $409 per acre for each of the two parcels, and he acknowledged that's around the amount that he paid. And he further acknowledged in other testimony during the TURF level hearing that he agreed that those values were based on like-kind sales of similar property in the area.
Let me back up just a little bit. Are both the board and the taxpayer using the same methodology, like comparables?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the assessor...
Which is an identified approved method.
Yes, yes, okay. that's the most, for a ground like this, that's the most commonly used method. If you have commercial property, you may have to get into the income-based approach, or if you had, say, like a new construction, you may have to look at the cost approach. But for farm ground like this, you're almost always going to use the market approach. I think Mr. Green brings up some issues. I just think the forum for his maybe proposal on how it ought to be evaluated is something he needs to take to the legislature and maybe get the law changed. Maybe we do need to value property more of an income-based approach, the farm ground, rather than the market value that we do. But that we need new law before that can happen, in my opinion.
Well, hasn't there been testimony that the taxpayer is talking to important people about changing this?
Yes, there is. And yes, he's had conversations with senators. I wish him well in getting there. I do think we have a property tax issue in this state, especially out where I live, and it's causing a significant impact on the farm community, and something does need to change. But I'm not sure if this is the place to change it yet.
Is there another serviceable remedy? If everybody agrees this is a flawed approach, is there another method that you can imagine for the taxpayer?
Oh, yeah.
Other than legislation or to change the rule of the PAD?
Well, I'm not so sure. I mean, I guess if we're talking specifically about Mr. Green's parcels, one thing he may have been able to bring up at the TURF level is some sort of evidence. He proposed a methodology how his property ought to be valued and all the properties around him ought to be valued, but he didn't really show any evidence. Like, for example, say he comes in and he says, well, you know what, normally on my property, like a property like mine that has good forage and you could graze, say, 100 cows. And on my property, here's evidence, you know, I can only graze 20 cows. I think that would certainly speak to the condition of the property. But we never really got any evidence like that at the TURF board level that we could use to say, yeah, the assessor could say, yeah, you know what, this is different. Well, one example of that is this.
So the TURF board said, well, that's a sensible method. AUM.
No, I don't think it's a
theoretical. But it was a first-time proposal, evidently.
Correct. And it's a theoretical method. He derived it. We just don't have any empirical data to know whether that would actually impact sales or not.
Aren't all of the methods that are approved, flawed or not, intended to approximate fair market value, what a willing buyer would pay a willing seller?
Yes.
And isn't the evidence of market values that was presented that this is spot-on market values?
I agree, yes.
And the argument, it seems to me, is that the buyers are, to use a phrase from a former chairman of the Federal Reserve, something like irrational exuberance, I think was the phrase. The complaint is essentially people are paying too much.
Yes, that is the complaint, yes.
But until people stop paying too much, market value is market value is market value, isn't it?
Yes, I would agree. I mean, you may have somebody come up from Colorado on a 1031 exchange and pay gobs more money than what maybe a local would pay, but if we have enough of that, that's what the market is fetching. I agree.
Is there any evidence of that, the profile of the buyers?
No, in, as far as...
Well, I think of 1031, everybody's breathless.
I haven't looked at that particular 12 closely enough to know if it's 1031 or not, but I do know the assessor takes that into account. If, you know, she'll throw out like the highs and the lows sometimes, but if there's factors like that, a neighbor is going to pay a lot more for the ground than an outsider, for example. You know, if you own the ground around it and it fits into your operation, you're going to pay a little more than the guy who's just looking for ground or maybe looking for it as an investment property. You know, and the other factor is the assessor does consider factors, as Mr. Green talks about, in valuing property. Say, for example, putting some acres into waste or if there's roads through the property. Those are accounted for in the different parcels. And Mr. Green's property is no different. You know, given all that, and given, I think, one, I don't think that Mr. Green met his burden of proof, but more importantly, I think the value is assessed as it should based on market value. I ask you to affirm the decision of the Board of Equal or the TURF Board. Thank you
very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 1 minute and 34 seconds, Mr. Maul. Mr. Maul, you heard me ask the question of your opposing counsel. Isn't your real quarrel with the irrational exuberance of buyers out there?
It is not, Your Honor. If you look at the productivity of my client's land is lower than the lowest in the sales roster.
But that's not the measure, ultimately, of what his land is worth. The question is, if it were to sell a willing buyer to pay a willing seller, what would it sell for? And that's based on competition.
because you have comparable sales, which we are using, which were for higher productivity ground. And if really the only thing that these farms are being used for in that area is grazing, there's not a hunting area.
What about what your client paid for the ground?
What he actually paid is not in the record. The $400 number was kind of off the calculation, and it included the farmstead and the dry land and all those types of things. So there's not evidence in the record of what he actually paid.
We have the burden of proof here.
We do have the burden of proof to show that the action was unreasonable, that the decision was unreasonable, and again, we believe that we showed that based on the county system. Well, it's just a mere difference of opinion, but there isn't a difference of opinion. Everyone agrees that something's wrong here, but for some reason there's a reluctance to say we're going to fix it to add that one extra factor in. We'd ask the court to add that extra factor in and reverse the decision of Turk. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Our next